created the heavens and the earth. He created the whole world. And he created us, humankind, in his image, in his likeness. And God, who is love, desired to have a relationship, a face-to-face connection with his image bearers. But we all know that love is a choice. So God, who is love, also gave us the very real freedom to choose to love him back or to go our own way. And we chose not to listen to him. We chose to listen to another voice, to go our own way. And we turned our backs on God. So way back then, starting in the garden with Adam and Eve, we've repeated that choice in every generation, including our own. But even as we did, God pursued us. He came looking for us in the garden. And even after we left the garden, he desired to get our attention. When we chose jealousy and selfishness, God continued to pursue us. God came looking for Cain after he killed Abel. And when Cain said to God, "My punishment is more than I can bear. I will be hidden from your presence. Whoever finds me will kill me." God said to him, "I'll protect you from other people's vengeance." Generations later in the desert, he came looking for the children of Israel. And even when we turned our backs on him once again, still God sought us out. He said, "I will give you laws to guide you, to help you. I will give you directions to lead you back towards me." But we said, "We prefer the golden calf." And once again, we turned our backs on God. And yet God pursued. He said, "I'll send you prophets, men and women who will teach you, who will call you, people who will show you what it is that I want of you and for you. That I will be your God and you will be my people." And we said no. We turned our backs to the prophets. We turned our backs to their words. We turned our backs on God once again. But God kept coming to us again. And again, and we kept turning away until finally, because he is love, at just the right time, God put on flesh and Jesus came and walked amongst us. And never had the universe ever seen such a perfect human being, but boy, was he strange. He taught what the rules, the laws, and the prophets were all about. And he lived what he taught. Even creation obeyed him. And while priests seemed to build barriers, keeping people away from God, Jesus lived a life that welcomed all who would come to him. He taught how much God loved us. And he showed us how we were to love. Love God, our neighbours, love our enemies, and even ourselves. He met people in their brokenness, in their pain, And he spoke words of life, of the kingdom of God, of life lived a better way. And he went where others wouldn't, at a well, asking for a drink. He spoke to a Samaritan woman, a woman not even accepted by her own people. And she said, "I can't believe you're talking to me." And he said, "I'm not here to judge you. I'm here that you might know who I am. And if you drink of my water, you will never thirst again." And he ate with people others wouldn't. He called Levi to come, follow him. Levi, a tax collector who the whole town despised. Yet Jesus said, "I want to go to your place. Let's spend time together." And he ate with Levi and with Levi's friends, while teachers of the law watched on and plotted. And he stood up for people who others condemned. He stooped down and wrote in the dust before a woman brought before him who had been caught in adultery. And he said, "Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." And as her accusers slipped away, he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Your accusers are gone. Neither do I condemn you, but let me show you a better way, a way that will give you life abundant, joy, hope, a way that will bring you into the presence of my Father. Go now and sin no more." Such extravagant, unconditional love. Well, we couldn't handle it. We didn't know what to do with it. It was a threat to our way of life. It called for humility and for change. And so we turned our back on him again. And we crucified him. We poured out all of our wrath on Christ while the Father looked on and expressed his love and his desire for reconciliation through Jesus. And Jesus died. So we took him and we placed him in a grave, in a tomb.
God's wonderful surprise. Jesus' friends were sad. They would never see their best friend again. How could this happen? Wasn't Jesus the rescuer, the king God had promised? It wasn't supposed to end like this. Yes, but whoever said anything about the end? Just before sunrise, on the third day, God sent an earthquake and an angel from heaven. When the guards saw the angel, they fell down with fright. The angel rolled the huge stone away, sat on top of it, and waited. At the first glimmer of dawn, Mary Magdalene and other women headed to the tomb to wash Jesus' body. The early morning sun slanted through the ancient olive trees, drops of dew glittering on leaves and grasses, little tears everywhere. The friends walked quietly along the hilly path, through the olive groves until they reached the tomb, and immediately noticed something odd. It was wide open. They peered through the opening into the dark tomb. Wait. Jesus' body was gone. And something else. A shining man was there with clothes made from lightning. Don't be scared, the angel said. But they couldn't help it. They screamed anyway. The angel asked them, What are you doing here? This is a tomb, and tombs are for dead people. The women couldn't speak. Jesus isn't dead anymore, he said. He's alive again. And their hearts leapt. And then the angel laughed with such gladness that they felt, for a moment, as if they had woken from a nightmare. The other women rushed home, but Mary stayed behind. How could it be true? Jesus was definitely dead. How could he be alive? Just then, Mary heard someone else in the garden. Perhaps it's the gardener, she thought. He'll know where Jesus' body is. I don't know where Jesus is, Mary said urgently. I can't find him. But it was all right. Jesus knew where she was, and he had found her. Mary. Only one person said her name like that. She could hear her heart thumping. She turned around. She could just make out a figure. She shaded her eyes to see and thought she was dreaming. But she wasn't dreaming. She was seeing Jesus. Mary fell to the ground. Sudden tears filled her eyes, and great sobs
Please stand with me and sing.
The Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. darkness we await, without hope, without light. So from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes.
To fulfill
the law and prophets,
to a
virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory,
to a
cradle in the dirt.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life. For God so loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life. Oh, I shall hold to the cross. Oh, I shall hold love has salvaged me, for his love has
Father God, we proclaim your victory, Lord, on this day. We proclaim the hope, Lord, that you've given to us. We proclaim, Lord, that you are the resurrected one, the first of many. Lord, it is your resurrection, Lord, that gives us hope for an eternal future. It is the very thing on which our faith is founded. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us and the hope that you've given us today.
Sung about in celebration. Jesus didn't remain in the grave. The Christ candle is lit. Jesus rose again. And now he calls us into relationship with a Father who has always been longing for us to come to him. Jesus defeated death. He defeated sin and he made it possible for us to turn around and have a face-to-face relationship with a God who had never turned his back on us. Because this is the heart of the gospel. It's the heart of what we celebrate here today. But the good news doesn't stop there. Jesus wasn't content with waiting until he came again to do life with us. He wants to work in us. And he wants to work through us today. So we sent our helper, the Holy Spirit. And this was his plan all along. Not a plan B, not a change of plan hastily made when we turned our back on God in the garden. It was this connection that he wanted from the start. But he had to work with us until we chose it for ourselves. This is what free choice, true love demands. Because God's love is given freely to each of us here. His face remains turned towards us. But each of us chooses where to place our cheer, towards God or away from him. We choose to follow our own voice or the voice of those around us, or to follow the voice of God, choosing to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower, an imitator, one who would pray for, speak up for, and show others the love and acceptance in that better way that Jesus showed us. Because this is the message of the gospel, the fullness of which we celebrate today. The God who never turned his back on us. Of Jesus the Christ, who came, rose again, and brought us back into relationship with the Father, who now by the Spirit works in us and through us. The great news of the day is that the risen Christ is in us, in you, the hope of glory today, tomorrow, and forever.